Andrew Nelson, the mayor of Bryan here. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Let's go back to last Tuesday. Some conversations and some action taken from council. First of all, the one step closer to solving that situation of the trains in downtown Bryan. So tell us where we are with that and the reason council took that action.
Well, I'm just really excited at the progress and growth of downtown Bryan, and you know, building barricades on to the right and to the left of cars as they approach the railroad tracks is a very expensive endeavor. But when you do that, you can't cheat across the gates when a train is coming. And because of federal legislation on what's called quiet zones, if we make that commitment, work with the train, with Union Pacific to design those properly, and we'll work with Union Pacific to do that, it allows us to have, you know, what are 20-plus crossings in downtown Bryan there, where the train isn't automatically going to blow the horn by law just because it's a dangerous intersection. It lowers the danger, and they will only have to blow the horn if they actually see someone breaking the law and crossing over. So it's a big win for Bryan. It's a big win for the residents there who can't sleep some nights. I mean, you can say you get used to the horn, but depending on where you are, you really don't. It is extremely loud. And so I'm very excited for our businesses, for the growth of Bryan, and for the growth of downtown.
Well, let's talk about saving money, because closing two crossings will save you more than $1.5 million.
Oh, well, that's right. And in every crossing, there's money that you have to spend to close a crossing. There's money you have to spend when you keep an existing crossing up. We're such a fast-growing community. Ultimately, we did close some crossings, but we didn't close all the crossings. And, you know, we worked with Union Pacific. We had several meetings within the community to get community feedback, and ultimately made the best decision we can. I think the big news is that we have achieved a quiet zone. And, as we grow and expand in our community, those crossings become vital. But every crossing is a potential accident for a train. So to turn those crossings into quiet zone crossings takes money, takes commitment, and I'm proud of our council for being, you know, willing to have the vision to see the importance of a quiet zone and willingness to invest that money in each of those crossings to keep them open and to keep them safe and to keep them quiet.
Well, but also you're fast tracking too. So speak to that, because this is going to change kind of your CIP plan.
That's right. It moves it up by a year. Hopefully we'll start digging dirt on this thing next year and have it finished before the end of 2020, I believe. Our staff is going to come back and take a look at that and give us some ideas of how they might be able to accelerate it by a year. But it's that important. You see that we're very committed to downtown Bryan, the things that we're doing. I've always said, you know, during my campaign, it's time to move from First Friday to just calling it Friday. Saturday, you know, downtown is thriving. If you look at all the Kingsmen, a new, brand new barbecue place, the Downtown Elixir has just opened up. They had an amazing, first month. The people that are coming and into downtown Bryan are successful entrepreneurs who are looking at that and assessing that it's now time to get to downtown. So we see this as very important to accelerate it, to keep that growth and success going.
So, and you're doing this now. You still have a couple of steps to take, and not the least of which is putting together basically a proposal, a resolution to develop the quiet zone. Then that's got to be approved by the Federal Railroad folks. Have you seen that's going to be, I have to say, fast-tracked? Does that look like that will move quickly?
Well, I mean, there's a process, and, you know, for us, it's the funding mechanism, which when we're talking about fast-tracking, we don't want to bottleneck the process by our own funding of the program. So it's several million dollars that we have to spend on it. It's a good investment. It's a wise investment. It was unanimously approved by our council. So it's got broad support. The process is the process. We'll work with Union Pacific, with all of the different commissions in the Federal Railroad Commission just all of the ones. There's a really well-defined process for going through this quiet zone, and we'll get it done.
Andrew Nelson, Mayor Bryan, joining us. You've kind of smoothed off the edges, the sharp edges that you had as far as the stealth dorm question is concerned. After you had time to take a look at it, it looks like that's something that y'all can be comfortable with. Tell me what kind of feedback you've been getting since it looks like we're moving forward.
I think it's been positive. You know, I was. It's such a complicated issue. I was actually expecting to have to explain sort of all the nitty-gritty details of how we came to our decision to more citizens. But most citizens, you know, whether you're someone who's, you know, on the construction building side of it, or whether you're just someone in the neighborhood who's concerned or not concerned about it, so far it's been positive. I mean, I think we've struck a nice balance between protecting property rights, making it very easy for someone who wants to build, a four-bedroom, four-bath house, just because, like I did for my family. You know, I like that. You know, I grew up in a very, you know, poor house where we were all sharing one bathroom, and I always dreamed of the idea, well, I want my kids to have their own bathroom one day. And so, you know, I don't want a town that tells me I can't do that. So we've got a simple checkbox. You can fool the city once and go build a stealth dorm and build something that just doesn't really fit into the neighborhood at all and is clearly flouting the rules. You can get away with it once, but, you know, you're not going to build a business on that. And in talking to so many of these developers, they don't want to go build, student housing in neighborhoods where a majority of those people in the neighborhood don't want it. I mean, it's not a win-win. You can't build a successful business. The locations where a lot of these have been built are nearly 80% renter neighborhoods already, and they're not all over the city of Bryan. And that's the other thing. We needed to be consistent and not slow down economic development in so many of the areas of Bryan where there's just where this isn't an issue, while still having a little bit of control to make sure long-term, if these things return back to family neighborhoods, that those houses are going to integrate and have sort of a neighborhood integrity about them. So I think we've struck a reasonable balance. We'll see how it goes.
Bryan Council has voted, with the exception of the golf course and Bryan Lake, to ban smoking of cigarettes, not vaping, but smoking of cigarettes. Nobody spoke against the move, but your thoughts as to why you took that action?
Well, I think, it's a very consistent position, and I think it's time. If you look at actions, you know, we have ordinances against loud noise, and, you know, you have the right to listen to your music, but if you force everyone around you to listen to your music in a neighborhood, you're kind of impinging on their rights. And I think where that doesn't exist, you look at BTU out at the lake or on a golf course where you're there and you really coming with a couple friends and everyone kind of knows that you're smoking. I mean, we made a few exceptions to it, but if you're at a baseball game or soccer game or big event and you want to smoke and ask the 100 people around you to smoke in a park because it's a public park, we're really trying to balance the rights of everyone. So I think it's reasonable. It also simplifies things for the police when they're, you know, trying to, and you know, what's okay to smoke, what's not okay to smoke in the park. So I think that's good for our police too, because it simplifies it for them. If they see kids that are smoking something, it's probably already against some type of ordinance in a park. So I think it supports our law enforcement.
City Council decided to approve a contract for $100,000 a year, basically pay Wallace Phillips, the former owner of the Briarcrest Country Club property, for a management contract within that. It's $1 million. He's going to be able to make other revenue streams there. He still maintains some of the property there. Why was the need for the $100,000 contract?
Well, we go through a process, a proposal process, a bid process. We got multiple bids, and he had the best bid, and it's not surprising. I mean, not only did he donate this land to us, but he probably also understood that he had an amazing facility. He could offer a much better deal to the city where we could make more money, and hopefully it makes him more money. When we do a partnership, the term partnership implies that it needs to be a win for both people. And I think the competing bid, when we did the math on it, was easily on average, if you look at sort of the best case and worst case, it was a couple $100,000 worse off to us. So, my job is not to say, does somebody else, you know, have a good win when we do what's best for the city? My job is to assess what's best for the city and to make that vote. It was a nearly unanimous vote to support it. And we'll see. It's a 10-year agreement. And, we're getting a lot out of it. We're getting a senior center out of it. And, you know, that's lost in a lot of these conversations because people are so excited about the park. But I'm hearing so many seniors come up and say, man, we are so excited about this. A dedicated 24/7 facility for seniors, as well as this golf facility. So we're able to, Wallace Phillips, in managing all the events in this facility that he's put millions of dollars in, which, by the way, remains on the tax roll. So we get the tax benefit of the fact that that's still a private facility. And he'll be able to coordinate his events as well as the golf events to maximize our golf revenue and to maximize his revenue, which again brings us tax base. So it all works out very well for the city of Bryan. It's a big win. And if Wallace Phillips can make more money doing that, then hey, that's what we want in Bryan. We want win-wins, and we want our entrepreneurs to do well, as long as it's good for Bryan. My job is, you know, not really to make him any money or to do things that are good for him. They're really to do things that are good for Bryan. But, you know, 10 years from now, if this is a really bad deal for him, then, you know, we're going to have to be doing another bid, which we'll do anyway. But maybe we won't make as much money as a city because there won't be someone who already has a facility. They'll have to go buy their own, you know, build their own facility there, and it's going to cost us a lot more money. So I'm very hopeful that it's successful for him, but I know it will be good for Bryan.
Finally today, you got a better look at what Relis is going to be, and that with the view of what Bryan is going to do to be able to provide services adjacent to it. This is different than another development, though, because quite often a developer has to wait on the city to make a move. A&M is not waiting. They're moving forward. How does Bryan catch up or stay up with the development of Relis?
Well, we are really appreciative of the relationship with Texas A&M University System. I personally appreciate the leadership of Chancellor Sharp. I've gotten to know him, and one of the great things of being mayor is having the opportunity to get to know him a little bit better. And he has a vision out there, and he's not sitting around. You know, I told people I didn't come to be mayor just to schedule conference rooms. Well, I'll tell you, he isn't either. He is a guy that wants to get things done, and so he's a great partner for us. So they would like to see us, annex that area out there. We're talking to him about making sure, you know, what is it going to take to get fire, to get police out there? How do we do that? We met just in the last council workshop on sort of what does that annexation look like. So, that's what we're going to do. And the hiring of Kelly Temple, and I'll say I'm delighted to see that, because when we go and talk with the system, we're talking a lot of city nitty-gritty details, and to have someone like Kelly in a leadership role who understands that is going to make this go a lot faster. So I'm anticipating we're going to be able to support and serve their needs and grow and succeed out there.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you got for us today?
Well, I know we're hiring firefighters, so I wanted to make sure the fire department's still accepting applications, so do that. We also have the Citizens Fire Academy, so we'll accept applications for that through March 8th. And also flood mitigation plan, we have a lot of public input meetings. Our next one is on March 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. It is in the basement building at City Hall, which we call our Bryan Municipal Office. So thank you for letting me share that information, and thanks. It's a great day to serve Bryan.
There you go. Thanks a lot.